Our subject this morning is new and improved. We live in an age of new and improved products. As a matter of fact, I would just venture a guess that when you walk down the aisles at the grocery store, you don't pass many boxes that don't have new or improved or new and improved written on them. As a matter of fact, our government became concerned because everybody seemed to have picked up on the vogue of describing their product as new and improved when the only thing that might be different was the packaging. And so the Federal Trade Commission passed some rules and regulations which said that if you're going to put new and improved on the box, you must make some real changes in the product, or you can't describe it that way. We like these new and improved products. They promise us everything from whiter whites and cleaner cleans to environmentally safe and sound products that are going to help the world in which we live. And when we look at the advertisements for these new and improved products on the television, we can just tell by looking at the face of that truck driver or that housewife and seeing that big smile on their face that it just makes them deliriously happy. And somehow we just know that if we could use that detergent, or if we could eat that kind of canned fruit, or if we could just have this or that, that we also would enjoy that kind of situation. When we turn to the Word of God, we discover that God makes a promise of new and improved. Al read the passage for us just a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He is new and improved. Behold, the old things are passed away. All things are become new. But you know the problem that you and I have? The problem that you and I have is we look at the ads on the television and we see the big smiles on the faces of the people. And we recognize that new and improved is supposed to translate into big grin. Somehow, because it's new and improved and we have partaken, we're going to feel differently. We're going to live differently. We're going to do differently. Life is just going to be better. And then we turn to the Scripture and we see the promise that in Christ Jesus we are a new creation. And we wonder, if we are a new creation in Jesus Christ, why don't I feel differently? Why, as a new creation in Jesus Christ, why don't I have that big grin that seems just to tear apart the facial muscles and break the jawbone? Why, if I am a new creation in Jesus Christ, why don't I feel better? There used to be a bumper sticker. It may still be around. Some of you have probably seen it. Says, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich? Maybe we need a bumper sticker that says, if I am a new creation, why aren't I different? And what I hope we can do in our lesson this morning is to investigate just a little bit what it means to be a new creation in Jesus Christ and come to understand that just a little bit better. First, let me suggest that we do not need to be reminded that our God is a creator God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Scripture recites very simply, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Turn just a page over to Genesis chapter 5, and we read simply, this is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. And when they were created, He called them man. That's the first creation. That's the first time we see the creative power of God at work. That's the first time that the word created is applied to the majesty and the handiwork of the Almighty. But that wasn't the last of the creations that God made. When we come over to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and the first verse, we read of another creation that God made. But now, this is what the Lord says. Now listen to it. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. So now we have two creations. Number one, God created man and woman. But number two, as God worked to bring the fullness of time and Jesus Christ into the world, he made a second creation. He created Israel. He formed Jacob. And the word created, when he speaks of creating Israel, is the same word that is used when it says that he created man and woman in the image of God, created or made he them. But then God promised another creation. In the 102nd Psalm and the 18th verse, the psalmist made this observation. Let this be written for a future generation. Now listen to it. Let this be written for a future generation that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. A people not yet created, same word, creation, same power, creation, shall praise the Lord. You may read the same promise in Isaiah chapter 65, beginning verse 48 and following through, where the same word is used, creation. And he talks about the church, the messianic kingdom. And God promised that there was going to be a new creation. What Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 is that this promise of God, that there would be another time when the creative power of God was brought to bear upon the earth, would be in Christians. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The promise of a people who would be created, who would praise the Lord, is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This creation, I suggest to you, is very important. As a matter of fact, this creation is so important that it is the very purpose of our creation. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, we find this statement by the Apostle Paul. And to put on the new self. Now listen to what he said. Talking about those who would be Christians. And to put on the new self. Created, same word. To be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It is the purpose of our creation. To be a new creature. To be like God in righteousness and holiness. In fact, I want to suggest to you that this new creation is so very important and significant that it is absolutely the only thing that counts. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. So then in Christ Jesus, same place, in Christ we are a new creation. So then in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision counts or availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It's the only thing that makes any difference. And if we are not a part of that new creation, then we have nothing that counts before God. Notice, if you will, that the Apostle Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Aren't you glad that Paul says, if anyone be in Christ? Go all the way back to the Great Commission. The Lord said, go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every person. And now Paul comes along and he says, if anyone, any person be in Christ. You see, in Jesus Christ, all of these human distinctions are gone away. He doesn't say that if any good-looking person be in Christ. That exclude me. If any smart person, rich person, poor person be in Christ, how many of these categories do you fit in? How many of these categories, if applied, could exclude you from Jesus? If any person, rich, poor, smart, unintelligent, red, yellow, black, doesn't make any difference. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. But notice where it takes place. If any person be in Christ Jesus. Oh, if I had my way, I'd tell you this morning, no, you don't need to be in Jesus Christ. Because you see, I've had members of my family, as have most of you, who have died outside of Christ, and that hurts. But I can't preach what I want to preach this morning. The only thing I can preach is what the Word says. And the Word says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In Jesus Christ, a relationship that is so rich that we derive our strength from Him, we derive our support from Him, we derive our life from Him. You recall the description that Jesus gave in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And you and I understand enough horticulture, though we may not be horticulturists, to know that that vine, as long as it abides in the branch, derives all of, or the branch, as long as it stays in the vine, derives all of its strength, its life, its very being from that vine. But the very minute you cut it off, it's got real problems. If any man be in Christ, and the flip side of that, for which we can praise God, is described by Paul in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, when he says that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, that it is Christ that fills all of our emptiness, it is Christ that fills all of our needs. But in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. Now listen to the Word this morning. If any man be in Christ, the language here in the original language is in the aorist tense. And what that suggests to us, yea, what it's saying to us, is that there was a particular point in time, a particular time and place, when a person became a new creation in Jesus Christ. And everybody understands that to refer to the point of conversion, to refer to the point of redemption, to the refer to the point of salvation, that it is when you come, when you're converted, when you're born again, when you become a part of the family, that you become this new creation in Jesus Christ. Now, when does that take place in the conversion process? I want you to take your Bibles, if you will. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. When do you become a new creation in Jesus Christ? Listen to the Word. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We died to sin. Do you hear it? When did we do that? Galatians 2:20 tells us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. We die to sin. We become a new creation. When does it take place? Let's keep reading. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized... Now let's stop there just a minute. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized... What does that mean? What if I said all of us who are wearing dresses this morning get $1,000? Well, I see a few grins. I'm just kidding, folks. What would that mean? Would you have any trouble understanding it? Maybe Mark Williams might. Mark might get up here in his suit. Looks nice this morning, Mark. And he come up here and say, I want my $1,000. Well, wait a minute. You don't meet the qualification. This many and no more is what it's saying, isn't it? This many, all of those who are in dresses and no more will get $1,000. Now, why should we have any trouble understanding that same language here in Romans 6 and verse 3? Let's read it again. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized, this many and no more, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that for this purpose, to this end, just as Christ was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, listen to it, may live a new life. Wait a minute, Paul, what is this? All of those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. When does it take place? Those who have been baptized into Christ are raised to walk in newness of life. Can it be any plainer? Can it be any clearer? We are raised to this new life. We become a new creation when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. But now let me suggest to you, brethren, and I wish it were different. I wish we had some panacea that would solve all of our problems. Come this morning and be baptized into Jesus Christ and you won't have any difficulties anymore. All temptation's going to be gone. You'll be such a new creation. You just won't have any problems. It doesn't work that way. Well, what does it mean then, a new creation? Why don't we have this muscle-ripping smile, this jaw-breaking grin like they do on TV when the products are new and improved? Because what we have in Jesus Christ is a new spiritual life. We understand when a baby is born into our family that there is a new creation. You think that baby doesn't have some problems? It not only has problems, it creates a few for you, but it's a new creation. Becoming a new creation in Jesus Christ may create some problems for you as you strive to live as a child of God ought to live and be faithful and true to His Word. But I want to suggest to you this morning that even though it's not going to solve your problems, that there is a way that you can get stronger and stronger in Jesus Christ as a new creation in Him, growing in Him in righteousness and true holiness, that you can be transformed. And that's what it's all about, the development of new values, the transformation in the mind of a person. So that those things that person once loved now don't mean so much to him anymore. And those things that didn't have any significance to that person, such as spiritual values and spiritual truths and moral values, now mean everything to him because he is in Christ Jesus and he wants to be like God. How can I really be a new creation and live more like him? Let's go back to our scripture. Turn to Romans, if you will. Chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. You hear that word? Be transformed. Be changed. Be made over. Be transfigured. How do you do it? By the renewing of your mind. You see, what Paul is telling us here is that really becoming a new creature with a new mind in Jesus Christ not only has to do with our being born again of water and of the Spirit in our baptismal birth, but it also has to do with the continuing transformation of the mind so that we continually develop more and more in us the mind that is in Christ Jesus. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. And have put on the new self. Isn't that what we're talking about? A new creation. Have put on the new self, which is being renewed. What happens to it? There's a beginning point. We put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its Creator. It has something to do with our mind. It has something to do with our learning. It has something to do with what we're feeding our soul. Is it any wonder then that Jesus said it's from within a man? That all of these evil things or these good things proceed? Is it any wonder that Jesus said, as a man thinketh within himself, so is he? Is it any wonder that Jesus said that it's out of the abundance of the good things in a man's heart that he brings forth good things, but it's out of the abundance of evil things in his heart that he brings forth evil things? Does this begin to tell us why, as new creations in Jesus Christ, we're not bringing forth the good things that we ought to bring forth? Because we're not feeding good things into our soul. Does this account, you think, for the attitude that great men of God, faithful men of God, have always had toward the Word of God? Joshua telling the people of God, don't let this law depart from you, but meditate on it day and night so that things may be well with you. Moses telling the people of God, you take this Word and you write it on your minds and on your hearts. And you tie it on your hands and you bind it on your forehead and you speak with your children about it. When you sit at home and when you walk in the way, when you rise up, when you lie down. Because if you meditate on the Word, then things are going to be well with you. Is it any wonder that when the psalmist came to describe the godly man in Psalm 1, that he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But listen to it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law doth He meditate day and night. You want to be different, brethren? Feed your soul from the Word. You want to be better, brethren? Feed your soul from the Word. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Behold, the old things are passed away, and all things are become new. He's entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, whereby, as we read earlier, the love of Christ constrains us. It controls us. Because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore we're all dead. And He died for all, that they that live, those who are the new creation, should no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him who for their sakes died and rose again. We live unto Jesus Christ. We are a new creation. All things are become new. Brethren, the Scripture promises His people a new name. It gives them a new song. And it promises a new home. Even now He's gone to prepare it for us. And if He's gone to prepare it for us, He will come again and receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. The question this morning is, are you ready to put yourself aside? Are you ready to bring yourself, and as we sang right before the lesson, be buried with Christ? Become a new creature, a new creation by the creative power of a divine creating God who will love you and strengthen you and help you unto the end. And if you'll be faithful unto Him, take you home to be with Him forevermore. What a promise, what a hope. Won't you receive it, believe it, obey it, and depend on it? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?